Blog Talk Radio.
I dedicate this song to recession, depression, and unemployment. This song is for you.
Today's a new day.
There, podcast land. Welcome, welcome, welcome to a Hodge to Hodge podcast. This is the Messenger Edition. This is Nurse Carmen. We have co-producers Ken and Ron Hodge. And now we have a conversation with the Messenger, Ron Hodge.
Good evening, and thank you, Nurse Carmen, for that introduction. Thank you, brother co-producer, for being here today. I want to say, if you want to know what's true for you about something, look to how you're feeling about it. Feelings are sometimes difficult to discover and often even more difficult to acknowledge. Yet hidden in your deepest feelings is your highest truth. The trick to get to those feelings, I'll show you. The trick to getting those feelings. See, God communicates with thoughts. Thoughts and feelings are not the same. Although they can occur at the same time, in communication with thoughts, God often uses images and pictures. For this reason, thoughts are more effective than mere words as tools of communication. In addition to feelings and thoughts, God also uses the vehicle of experience as a grand communicator. And finally, when feelings and thoughts and experiences all fail, God uses words. Words are really the least effective communicator. They are most open to misinterpretation, most often misunderstood. And why is that? It is because of what words are. Words are merely utterances, noises that stand for feelings, thoughts, and experiences. They symbols, signs, and signals. They are not truth. They are not the real thing. Words may help you understand something. Experience allows you to know. Yet there are some things you cannot experience. So God has given you other tools of knowing, and these are called feelings, and so too thoughts. Now, the supreme irony here is that you have all placed so much importance on the word of God and so little on the experience. In fact, you place so little value on experience that when what you experience of God differs from what you've heard of God, you automatically discard the experience and own the words, when it should be just the other way around. Your experience and your feelings about a thing represent what you factually and intuitively know about that thing. Words can only seek to symbolize what you know and can often confuse what you know. These, then, are the tools which God communicates. Yet they are not the methods, for not all feelings, not all thoughts, not all experiences, and not all words are from God. Many words have been uttered by others in God's name. Many thoughts and feelings have been sponsored by causes not of God's creation. Many experiences result from these. The challenge is one of discernment. The difficulty is knowing the difference between messages from God and data from another source. Discrimination is a simple matter with the application of a basic rule. God's is always your highest thought, your clearest words, your grandest feeling. Anything less is from another source. Now, just understand when I say another source, I'm not talking about no devil or anything. I'm talking basically about the data that the mind has recalled, the data that the mind has collected, that other source. I'm not talking about no spooky creatures or anything like to that nature. Now, the task of differentiation becomes easy, for it should not be difficult even for the beginning student to identify the highest, the clearest, and the grandest. Yet, I will give you these guidelines. The highest thought is always that which contains joy. The clearest words are those words which contain truth. The grandest feeling is that feeling which you call love. Joy, truth, and love. These three are interchangeable, and one always leads to the other. It matters not which order they are placed. Having with these guidelines determines which message are from God and which message have come from another source. The only question remains is whether God's message would be heeded. Most of God's messages are not, some because they seem too good to be true, others because they seem too difficult to follow, many because they are simply misunderstood, most because they are not received. God's most important, most powerful message is experience, and even this you ignore, especially this one you ignore. The world would not be in its present condition were you to have simply listened to your experience. The result of your not listening to your experience is that you keep reliving it over and over again. But God's purpose would not be thwarted, nor God will be ignored. You will get the message sooner or later. God will not force you to, however. God will not coerce you to, for God has given us all free will, the power to do as you choose, and God will never take that away from you, ever. And so, God will continue sending you the same message over and over again, throughout the millenniums and to whatever corner of the universe you occupy. Endlessly will God send you messages until you have received them and held them close, calling them your own. God's message will come in 100 forms, 1,000 moments, across 1,000,000 years. You cannot miss them if you only truly listen. You cannot ignore them once truly heard. Thus will our communication begin in earnest. For in the past, you have only talked to God, praying to God, interceding with God, beseeching God. Yet now, can God talk back to you even as he is doing now? What would be the difference? Do you see that God could just as easily work through your imagination as anything else? God will bring you the exact right thought, words, or feelings at any given moment, suited precisely to the purpose at hand, using one device or several. You will know these words are from God because you, of your own accord, have never spoken so clearly. Have you ever spoken so clearly on these questions? You would not be asking them. And then you say, well, whom do God communicate? Are these special people? Are there special times? And I say, all people are special, and all moments are golden. There is no person and there is no time one more special than another. Many people choose to believe that God communicates in special ways with only special people. You know what? This removes the masses of the people from responsibility of hearing God's message, much less receiving it, and allows them to take someone else's word for everything. You don't have to listen to God, for you already decided that others have heard from God and on every subject, and you have listened to them. By listening to what other people think you heard God say, you don't have to think at all. This is the biggest reason for most people turning from God's message on a personal level. If you acknowledge that you are receiving God's message directly, then you are responsible for interpreting them. It is far safer and much easier to accept the interpretation of others, even others who have lived 2,000 years ago, than seek to interpret the message you may very well be receiving in this very moment. Yet, God invites you to a new form of communication, a two-way communication in truth. It is you who have invited God, for God has come to you in this form right now in answer to your call. So why do some people, take Christ for example, seem to hear more of God's communication than others? And the simple answer is because some people are willing to actually listen. They are willing to hear, and they are willing to remain open to the communication even when it seems scary or crazy or downright wrong. And then you say, well, we should listen to God even when what's being said seems wrong, especially when it seems wrong. If you think you are right about everything, who needs to talk to God? Go ahead and act on all that you know. But notice that you've all been doing that since time began. And look at what shape the world is in. Clearly, you've missed something. Obviously, there is something you don't understand. That which you do understand must seem right to you, because right is a term you use to designate something with which you agree. What you've missed will therefore appear first to be wrong. The only way to move forward on this is to ask yourself, what would happen if everything I thought was wrong was actually right? Every great scientist knows about this. When what a scientist does is not working, a scientist sets aside all the assumptions and start over. All great discoveries have been made from a willingness and ability to not be right. And that's what's needed here. You cannot know God until you stop telling yourself that you already know God. You cannot hear God until you stop thinking that you've already heard God. God cannot tell you his truth until you stop telling him yours. But we say, my truth comes from God. And then I say, who says so? Others. What others? This would be impossible. For no form or shape you understand. God could adopt a form or shape that would understand, but then everyone would assume that they have seen is the one and only form and shape of God, rather than a form or shape of God, one of many. People believe God, they see, people believe that what they see of God is God, as rather than what they do not see. But God is the great unseen, not what I cause myself to be in any particular moment. In a sense, God is what I am not. It is from the am notness that God comes, and to it always returns. Yet when God comes in one particular form or another, a form is what the form in which he comes is a form in which he thinks people can understand. People assign that form to God forevermore. And I'll give you an example. Everybody's looking for God as that burning bush, because he, in the story, came to Moses as a burning bush. So now everybody looks for God as a burning bush, not understanding that God is everything. But if you want someone to have a real revelation about God, they're going to mention a burning bush, when he is so much more. And should God come in any other form to any other people, the first say, I did not, that God did not appear to the second, because God did not look to the second as it did to the first, nor the same thing. So how could it have been God? You see, then it matters not in what form or in what manner God reveals oneself. Whatever manner God chooses and whatever form he chooses, none will be incontroversial. Then you say, but if you did something that would evidence the truth of who you are beyond doubt or question, there are still those who would say, is it of the devil or simply someone's imagination or any cause other than God? If God revealed himself as God Almighty, King of heaven and earth, and moved mountains to prove it, there are those who would say it must have been Satan. And such it is as it should be, for God does not reveal God's self to God's self, form, or through outward observation, but through inward experience. And when inward experience has revealed God's self, outward observation is not necessary. And if outward observation is necessary, inward experience is not possible. If then revelation is requested, it cannot be had, for the act of asking is a statement that it is not there, that nothing of God is now being revealed. Such a statement produces the experience, for your thoughts about something is creative, and your word is productive, and your thoughts or your words together are magnificently affected in giving birth to your reality. Therefore, shall you experience that God is now not now revealed? For if God were, you would not ask God to be. And so I just want to go over that a little bit, just to let us know, because of doubt, because of what we've learned, God is right steady in the works. You know, we sing it, we say it all the time, that God is doing this and God is doing that. But then we're looking for God to come do something else. And so we're missing it. And what we were talking about were inward and outward. When you feel within you the presence of God, you do not need to see the sky open up. You do not need to see these different things, because you know. And if you're looking for the sky to open up, then that means you don't feel them on the inside. So the sky can open up all at once, and you, at that moment, you might think it's God, but you don't feel it and know it. But when it's coming from the inside, then it doesn't matter. Anybody can walk up to you when it's on the inside. Anybody can walk up to you with the word of God. But when it's on the outside, that person that walks up to you with the word of God, they got to come in a particular way. For instance, they got to come with a suit. They got to come with a Bible. So once again, we think we know God, but we don't. Because he is on the inside. We speak about it all the time, but we speak without knowing or even believing. Why? Because we haven't allowed the experience to rule our judgment. We're allowing the mind with limited data to tell us everything. And this is why we keep going over the same things over and over again, because that's all that the mind knows. This is a question which has been asked throughout the years. I'm sorry. So does that mean that anyone cannot ask for anything they want? You say that praying for something actually pushes it away. And I say, when we pray, you know how some people say that there are certain things that, oh, I didn't get this because God intended it for not to be so, and so he knew it wasn't good for me, and so this is why I didn't get it. But this is a question which has been asked throughout the ages and have been answered whenever it has been asked, yet we have not heard the answer or will not believe it. The question is answered again in today's term and today's language. You will not have that for which you ask, nor can you have anything. Let me repeat this. You will not have that for which you ask, nor can you have anything you want, nor can you have anything you want. This is because your very request is a statement of lack, and you're saying you want a thing only works to produce that precise experience, wanting. In our reality, that's what it does. It produces that experience of wanting. The correct prayer is therefore never a prayer of supplication, but a prayer of gratitude. When you thank God in advance for that which you choose to experience in your reality, you in effect acknowledge that it is there. In effect, thankfulness is thus the most powerful statement to God, an affirmation that even before you ask, God has answered. Therefore, never supplicate, but appreciate. But then the question is asked, but what if I'm grateful to God in advance for something and it never shows up? That could lead to disillusionment and bitterness. Gratitude cannot be used as a tool with which to manipulate God, a device with which to fool the universe. You cannot lie to yourself. Your mind knows the truth of your thoughts. If you are saying, thank you, God, for such and such, all the while being very clear that it isn't there in your present reality, you cannot expect God to be less clear than you and so produce it for you. God knows what you know, and what you know is what appears as your reality. But how then can I be truly grateful for something I know is not there? Faith. Faith, if you have the faith of a mustard seed, you shall move mountains. You come to know it is there because God said it is there. Because God said that even before you ask, I shall have answered. Before I say and have said to you in many conceivable ways through every teacher you can name, that whatsoever you shall choose, choose it in my name, so shall it be. Yet so many people say that their prayers have gone unanswered. And I say to you, no prayer, and a prayer is nothing more than a fervent statement of what is so, goes unanswered. Every prayer, every thought, every statement, every feeling is creative to the degree that it is fervently held as truth. To that degree, it will make manifest in your experience. When it is said that a prayer has not been answered and has in an actual happened, is that the most fervent held thought, words, or feeling has become operative. Yet, what you must know, and here is the secret, it is that always it is the thought behind the thought, which might be called the sponsoring thought, that is the controlling thought. If therefore you beg and supplicate, there seems a much smaller chance that you will receive what you think you are choosing, because the sponsoring thought behind every supplication is that you do not have now what you wish. That sponsoring thought becomes your reality. The only sponsoring thought which could override the thought is the thought held in faith that God will grant whatever is asked without fail. Some people have such faith, but very few. The process of prayer becomes much easier when, rather than having to believe that God will always say yes to every request, one understands intuitively that the request itself is not necessary. Then the prayer is a prayer of thanksgiving. It is not a request at all, but a statement of gratitude for what is so. Now, that's really, really deep for us that we have to understand. And, you know, we like to do a lot of this praying over stuff and this and that, but what we have to understand is that's not necessary. We just need to give more thanks, understand it, and see it for what it really is and not what it is that our mind and our eyes are telling us. If we believe that he is granting it to us before we've already asked, then we have to walk in that. Brother President, we have to walk in that.
Amen. That's what we have to do.
And we have to understand. We have to understand that we can't fool the universe. If you know that you know, you're not fooling the universe, because you're walking in it because you know it's on the way. So when you say that, so the question is asked, so when you say that a prayer is a statement of what is so, are you saying that God does nothing, that everything which happens after a prayer is a result of the prayer's action? If you believe that God is some omnipotent being who hears all prayers, say yes to some and no to others, and maybe, but not now, to the rest, you are mistaken. By what rule of thumb would God decide? If you believe that God is the creator and decider of all things in your life, you are mistaken. God is the observer, not the creator. And God stands ready to assist you in living your life, but not in the way you might expect. It is not God's function to create or uncreate the circumstances or conditions of your life. God created you in the image and likeness of God. You have created the rest through the power that God has given you. Brother co-producer, I thank you all, and I turn it over to the co-producer.
This is co-producer, and I do thank you all for tuning in to Hodge to Hodge on Blog Talk Radio. Every week we get together, and we want to share with you the amazing word that you are just as important as Jesus Christ himself. When the Creator looks at us, he sees us. He sees one body. Do not allow yourself to continue to believe that there are others greater than you. Again, accept the fact that the Almighty the creator, the energy that always has energy, dwells inside of you. And when you connect with that energy, you'll understand that you don't need an intercessor, because where you want to be, you are already there.
Thank you, Lord.
So good night, podcast audience, and we will talk to you again next week. Have a nice have a nice evening. Good night.
Good night, my brothers and sisters.